tonight.
A little bit different. And kind of the thing is for someone coming into a program, not been used to maybe other programs, definitely not used to church, not used to talk about Christ and Christianity, there's some things that where they would might struggle with. And from its beginning, RU has been a faith-based Christ-centered addictions recovery program, and a lot of what we speak about is developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if you're not from a Christian background, that we can realize why you might be skeptical. And a person might just kind of say, well, why are you talking about all that stuff? I just want to help with my addictions. I don't want all that other stuff. And so it's something we can understand. And so it's something that really for us here that maybe are from a Christian background, we want to kind of understand where someone else is coming from as well, so we can help them too. And so in that way, this can be a help too, and maybe explain, kind of helping people understand why we have the focus that we do. Because that's sometimes we just, if we don't, we're not familiar with it, we wouldn't realize why, how there would be a connection. How could talking about Jesus help me with my addiction? And so that's what we want to focus on this evening. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through some different verses in the scriptures, and they kind of give a bit of a perspective on things. So to begin with, there's a verse here in the Psalms, Psalm 118, 22 and 23. It says, "A stone which the builders refuse has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And so in this passage, the picture here is given of this stone where they're building like a wall, building a foundation, and the builders look at this one stone and say, "We don't want that stone. We'll get that out of here. That doesn't fit. It's a stone which has been refused, been rejected, has been cast aside by men." But what happens is God comes along, and this stone that's been refused, he picks it up and says, "This is a stone I want to use." And he makes this stone the chief cornerstone. And so it's really the most essential stone in the entire foundation. Everything's built off of that one stone. And so this is not at all what we would expect. But when we actually see it happen, we find it is a marvelous thing. And so I want to kind of keep that in mind. And so then there's another verse. This is in, I'll just go back if I can remember how. Okay, so you get everything there? So this kind of thought of this stone and cornerstone is continued on in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. And so it says, and this is God speaking, "As thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Okay? And so in this verse, and it ties in with the verse we looked at before, God is saying that he has established a proven, sure foundation for us to build our lives upon. And so if we put our faith and trust in this cornerstone, we will not have to make haste. We will not have to panic. Okay? And we'll never be ashamed for doing so. That's the idea. He that believeth shall not be ashamed, is what it, in Romans 9:33 is. It's speaking it from a bit of a different angle. And so it's something that we can count on, something that we can rely upon. And so we want to understand from the scriptures that the sure foundation that God has set is Jesus Christ. And it talks about Ephesians 2:20, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So when you see that talking about a cornerstone, it's talking about Jesus. And so we see those verses and we ask, well, okay, first of all, okay, how is Jesus a sure foundation for a person's life? What does he have to do with having a foundation to life? But then, as well, a person would ask, well, what does this possibly have to do with helping me out of my addiction or personal struggle? That, why this kind of bit of theology, these different verses, this thought of, okay, well, Jesus is a stone, and he's the one that, that God has chosen, he's the one that man's rejected. How does that all work together? Well, the answer to both those questions is found in Jesus' own words in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. And he says this, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And so, we want to understand it from this idea, because he's giving this thought that if we believe in him, if we do what he says, that when there's storms come, that we're not going to fall. But if we don't believe, when storms come, then we are going to fall. Okay? And so it's a thought that we should never expect life to be trouble-free. Okay? There's always going to be storms in life that we have to pass through. Sometimes it can be loss, where we lose a loved one, we lose a family member, we lose our job, we just lose an opportunity. Like, there's different things that we have to deal with loss. Sometimes it's trauma. We get into a bad accident. We're a victim of crime. Different things happen. We always, someone is, I think it was in Princess Bride, one of the things was get used to disappointment. And that's something that we do kind of need to get used to, because we just probably don't have a day go by where everything goes as good as we want. It's like we're pumped about something and then it doesn't happen. And we got to get used to that, right? It's part of life. And then stress. And I know we were talking about that a bit in second talk. Just different things where it's like, it's not like you can just push it out of your life. Like, there's just stuff that has to be done. And how do you get it done? And just how do you manage it? Without being overwhelmed. And so that's all part of life, and it's part of all of our lives. But in order to weather the storms of life, we need to develop stability and resiliency, right? Stability is where we're stable, where things don't seem to shake us, where we can maintain our focus. Right? And resiliency is where things happen and we're able to kind of bounce back from it, right? That it doesn't just flatten us and knock us down completely. It's just we get hit, but then we get back up again, right? So we want to develop a resiliency, an ability to withstand different things. And because if we don't, then our mental and our emotional health is going to suffer, where we'll be filled with fear and anxiety, will be might be struggling with discouragement, depression. A lot of different things can happen, and so we want to develop that's very important so that we can learn to handle things. But the thing is, if we've never developed any healthy coping skills, maybe we've never been taught them, maybe we just didn't know what our options are. But if we've never developed any healthy coping skills, it becomes easy for us to turn to substance abuse or other negative behavior to cope. That we have a problem, and say we're tired out, we need a boost, we're feeling down, we need someone to pick us up, we're anxious, we need someone to calm us down, or something really hurts and we just want to find some relief from that pain, that it can be easy just to say, okay, I'm just going to grab this is present, this seems available, this can maybe help me, and we think it might make it better, but a lot of times it makes it worse. And I know there was someone we went through the mental health first aid just talking about substance use and substance related disorders, and just kind of how it's kind of the thing here. You're low, and so you need someone to pick you up, and so you get a high, but then it always brings you back down to a low again. And it's always, the problem is it never gets you up to the high, the same high as before, but it always seems to bring you just a bit more lower down each time. And so there's different things like that it seems like it'll help to start with, but usually it makes it better, not worse, and our crisis goes from bad to worse. And if we're using what we would recognize as unhealthy, negative coping skills, our lives can end up collapsing under the pressure of life. And so, we want to realize God loves us. And He sees our life, He knows that we're going through different storms, and He doesn't want our lives to collapse under the pressure. He does not want for us to get a place where we have like a mental health crisis and emotionally we're a wreck and that we find it very difficult to recover from what happened, very difficult to function as we once did because of something that happened in our life. And so God wants to teach each of us positive coping skills so that we can become stable and resilient. That's what He's seeking to do. He's bringing us through different challenges, but He's like, okay, I want you to learn how to handle this challenge. And so you need to listen to what I'm trying to pass on to you so that then, when this happens, it doesn't overwhelm you, you can handle it, you can find victory, you can overcome. And so as we follow the principles that He teaches us, then we're able to weather the storms of life. That the winds, the rains descend, the floods came and beat upon the house, but it didn't fall. And that's what God wants for us. Where you can have things come at you from all sides, be totally overwhelming, but you keep standing. That you're able to withstand what's happened, and keep going strong. Okay? And so that's what He wants us to do. But of course, if we don't listen to what He says and we try to do our own thing, then He's laying it out. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're building your house on the sand, and when all those things come, you're going to be swept away. You're going to collapse. And so He's trying to teach us that. And so we want to learn to have a relationship with Jesus, learn to follow Him. And that's really what we understand is the secret to getting victory over a lot of these bad habits and stubborn sins is okay, He wants to lead us out of that, and we need to listen to what He says. And so that's, and you think about it, who of anyone would know the best way to how to cope with something? It's going to be Him. Who's going to be able to wade through things and say, this is this is a bad idea, this is maybe a good idea, but then this is actually the best. And to help us wade through that, that's what he's there for. And so this is a verse from Isaiah 48, and I think it's something to just remember, even something to meditate on, but it says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And so we could recognize that this is God the Father, but he also speaks of the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We could see definitely God the Son, Lord Jesus, in this as well. And he says, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." And that's the thing. He wants to teach us to profit. He doesn't want our lives to be a waste. He doesn't want our lives to not accomplish anything. He wants us to have profitable lives, right? And he wants to lead us by the way that we should go. That he has good things for us. He wants to bring us through difficulty to places of blessing and fruitfulness. And he says, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." And that's the thing. And I think all of us can think of that, where we look back and, boy, it sure would have been good if I had hearkened unto what he was trying to tell me what to do. That this was a good idea, and I went my own way, and that was such a mistake. And I regret that. And that's the thing, when we go on patterns of behavior that aren't according to what he's leading us, then we miss out so much. And that's the thing, is he's building, he wants to have us learn to have peace and have our hearts full of peace. So it's like a river, that instead of having everything come sweep us away, that peace is a river sweeps all that other stuff away. So it's not overwhelming to us. And our righteousness is the waves of the sea, that instead of having all these bad habits that keep crippling us and preventing us from moving forward in our Christian life, whereas we follow him day by day, we learn to get victory and exhibit his righteousness. So with all of that, what we want to understand, though, is that even though Christ is exactly what we need, our tendency is to immediately refuse and dismiss having him become a part of our lives. And that's what the first verse that we looked at, the whole thought of it, where it says, "A stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." That what man just too quickly just pushes aside, that God says, "This is what I want to actually use." And it's an interesting pattern that we see repeated, because we think of Joseph, like, and this is actually, person who really kind of laid this out was Stephen, in his message. And he was trying to speak to his own people, just explain to a pattern. We think of Joseph, where he was hated by his brethren and he was cast out. He was sold into slavery. But then what happened years and years later, there is a famine in the land and they had to go try to find food. And so they heard that there was food down in Egypt, that this person, there is this wise ruler who had stored up a bunch of food, and so that now there was provision, and so if you wanted food you had to get to Egypt. And they got there, and over time what did they discover? That the person who was the means of their deliverance was actually the brother that they had rejected years before. And so we see that also with Moses, how he got to be about 40 years old and he tried to help his people. He thought that they would accept him, but then they found that he wouldn't. And it says here in Acts 7:35, "This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." And so that's the story of Moses, that he tried to step up, defend his people, help his people, and they just kind of pushed him aside and said, well, we don't want you to be the leader. But then 40 years later, God brings him back to Egypt and says, this is a man that I have chosen to lead you out of slavery towards the promised land. And really, we understand that Joseph and Moses were really a foreshadowing of Jesus in this way, because it's the same thing that so many people, when they hear of Jesus, they hear of Christianity, hear of this idea of a relationship with God, and it's just like, what does that have to do with anything that I need? And so it's rejected. But, well, we understand that that's human nature, but you don't want to go down that path. You don't want to miss out and cast aside that which could be the whole source of deliverance. And so that's the thought, that Christ may be the stone that you've rejected, but if you have a change of mind, if you put your trust in the Lord, you will find Him to be that sure foundation that you need in life. And so, just a few final thoughts. It is some all of us need to ask, as we've experienced the storms of life, how well have we been able to weather them? Sometimes there's things that we went through and we still haven't fully recovered from them. And sometimes it's realizing that this situation I was in, I didn't deal with this in a healthy way, and I never actually healed with it right. It would be kind of the same as if you, say you broke your arm or something like that, and instead of going to the doctor, you just figure, well, I'll just kind of like try to splint it myself and just try to fix it myself, and hopefully it'll be good. Or like for me, when I cut off the tip of my finger, just thinking, well, I'll just put a Band-Aid on it and hopefully I'll just kind of hold it together so it kind of mends itself and figure, oh yeah, that'll be good. Whereas, like, no, like, I had to have surgery. I needed some things to be reattached. And it's like, if I hadn't have done that, like, I wouldn't be able to use this hand now, right? I had to get surgery. I had to have it heal for a while. And then I had to go through a bunch of physio to get it so it would function again. Because to start with, everything was so stiff. It was like I couldn't hardly do anything with it. And I had to learn to basically pick stuff up with these two fingers, because these other ones didn't work. And when I finally got, it was really kind of funny when I got back to them using, because it was sort of, my brain couldn't figure which fingers to use to pick stuff up, because I'd trained these ones to do it, but these ones were good again. And so, but it's the thing, is like there's a process. And when it happens to things mentally and emotionally that we're affected by it, there's a process of healing. And we want to go through that. And we need to evaluate that. Have I weathered these things properly? And if not, what? Why not? But then, too, we want to ask, have the coping mechanisms that we've chosen, have they made our problem better or worse? Because sometimes this is something that we do, and it's become a pattern of how we handle something. But then we say, okay, is this actually the right way to handle it? And we'd say, well, it's not as bad as this, and that's true, but we don't want to just say, well, it's not as bad as this. We want to say, is there a better way? And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Like, if you listen to me, if you do what I am laying out to you, what I'm trying to pass on to you each day through my time with you, that you find a better way to handle it that doesn't have all these other things. And so it's learning to trust Him and grow in that way. And it's something to think about, that sometimes we look out for every other way of fixing our problem, but we want to think, is the what we might have been quick to dismiss, and specifically a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, could that be the source of stability and resiliency that we've been missing? And so it's kind of a thing, if whether not grown up around Christianity and it's something where it's new to you, or for even some of us who that has been part of our background, I think it's something that we need to be reminded of, that Jesus Christ is a sure foundation, that if we believe on Him, if we build our lives on Him, there will be stability to our life, we'll have a resiliency to our life. If we rely on our own wisdom, we rely on other things, we're just not going to have that stability that He wants to give us. Alright, so that concludes third talk.